43. Spearman. You have spoken to one who cannot respond. We instead will take your communication to us, though we know not how you located us upon this world. Moash picked at the mush that Febrith called a stew. It tasted like creme. He stared at the flame spren in their large cook fire, trying to warm himself as Febrith, a Thalen man with striking horn-eater red hair, argued with Graves. The fire's smoke curled into the air, and the light would be visible for miles across the Frostlands. Graves didn't care. He figured that if the Everstorm hadn't cleared the bandits out of the area, two Shardbearers would be more than enough to deal with any who remained. Shard blades can't stop an arrow in the back, Moash thought, feeling exposed. And neither can plate, if we're not wearing it. His armor and that of Graves lay bundled in their wagon. Look, that is the triplets, Graves said, waving toward a rock formation. It's right here on the map. We go west now.
I've been this way before, Febrith said. We must continue south, you see, then east.
The map!
I have no need for your maps, Febrith said, folding his arms. The passions guide me.
The passions? Graves said, throwing his hands up. The passions? You're supposed to have abandoned such superstitions. You belong to the diagram now.
I can do both, Febrith said solemnly.
Moash stuffed another spoonful of stew into his mouth. Storms, he hated it when Febrith took a turn cooking, and when Graves took a turn, and when Fia took a turn, and, well, the stuff Moash himself cooked tasted like spiced dishwater. None of them could cook worth a dun chip, not like rock. Moash dropped his bowl, letting the mush slop over the side. He grabbed his coat off a tree branch and stalked out into the night. The cold air felt strange on his skin after so long in front of the fire. He hated how cold it was down here. Perpetual winter. The four of them had suffered through the storms, hiding in the cramped, reinforced bottom of their wagon, which they'd chained to the ground. They'd frightened away rogue parchmen with their shard blades. They hadn't been nearly as dangerous as he'd worried. But that new storm. Moash kicked at a rock, but it was frozen to the ground, and he just stubbed his toe. He cursed, then glanced over his shoulder as the argument ended in shouts. He'd once admired how refined Graves seemed. That had been before spending weeks crossing a barren landscape together. The man's patience had frayed to threads, and his refinement didn't matter much when they were all eating slop and pissing behind hills. So how lost are we? Moash asked as Graves joined him in the darkness outside camp. Not lost at all, Graves said. If that idiot would actually look at a map. He glanced at Moash. I've told you to get rid of that coat. Which I'll do, Moash said, when we're not crawling across winter's own frozen backside. At least take the patch off. It might give us away if we meet someone from the war camps. Rip it off. Graves turned on his heel and walked back toward camp. Moash felt at the Bridge 4 patch on his shoulder. It brought memories. Joining Graves and his band who had been planning to kill King Elokar, an assassination attempt once Dalinar was away, marching toward the center of the Shattered Plains. Facing off against Kaladin, wounded and bleeding. You will not have him. Moash's skin had gone clammy from the cold. He slid his knife from his side sheath. He still wasn't used to being able to carry one that long. A knife that was too big could get you into trouble as a Dark Eyes. He wasn't Dark Eyed anymore. He was one of them. Storms, he was one of them. He cut the stitches on the Bridge 4 patch. Up one side, then down the other. How simple it was. It would be harder to remove the tattoo he'd gotten with the others, but that he'd had placed on his shoulder, not his forehead. Moash held up the patch, trying to catch the firelight for a last look, and then couldn't bring himself to throw it away. He walked back and settled by the fire. Were the others sitting around Rock's stew pot somewhere, laughing, joking, betting on how many mugs of ale Lopin could drink, ribbing Kaladin, trying to get him to crack a smile? Moash could almost hear their voices, and he smiled, imagining that he was there. Then he imagined Kaladin telling them what Moash had done. "He tried to kill me," Kaladin would say. "He betrayed everything. His oath to protect the king, his duty to Alethkar, but most importantly, us." Moash sagged, patch in his fingers. He should throw the thing in the fire. Storms, he should throw himself in the fire. He looked up toward the skies, toward both Damnation and the Tranquiline Halls. A group of starspren quivered above. And beside them, something moving in the sky? Moash shouted, throwing himself backward off his perch as four Voidbringers descended upon the little camp. They smashed into the ground, wielding long, sinuous swords, not shard blades. Those were Parshendi weapons. One creature struck where Moash had been sitting an instant before. Another creature stabbed Graves straight through the chest, then yanked the weapon free and beheaded him with a backhand swipe. Graves' corpse tumbled, and his shard blade materialized, clanging to the ground. Febreth and Fia didn't have a chance. Other Voidbringers struck them down, spilling their blood in this cold, forgotten land. The fourth Voidbringer came for Moash, who threw himself into a roll. The creature's sword slammed down near him, hitting Rock, the blade throwing sparks. Moash rolled to his feet, and Kaladin's training, drilled into him through hours and hours spent at the bottom of a chasm, took over. He danced away, putting his back to the wagon, as his shard blade fell into his fingers. The Voidbringer rounded the fire toward him, light glittering from her taut, muscular body. These weren't like the Parshendi he'd seen on the Shattered Plains. They had deep red eyes and red-violet carapace, some of which framed their faces. The one facing him had a swirling pattern to her skin, three different colors mixing, red, black, white. Dark light, like inverse stormlight, clung to each of them. Graves had spoken of these creatures, calling their return merely one of the events predicted by the inscrutable diagram. Moash's foe came for him, and he lashed out with his blade, driving her back. She seemed to glide as she moved, feet barely touching the ground. The other three ignored him, instead picking through the camp, inspecting the bodies. One soared in a graceful leap onto the wagon and began digging in the items there. His opponent tried again, carefully sweeping her long curved sword at him. Moash shied back, shard blade gripped with both hands, trying to intercept her weapon. His motions seemed clumsy compared to the graceful power of this creature. She slipped to the side, clothing rippling in the wind, breath visible in the cold air. She wasn't taking chances against a shard blade and didn't strike as Moash stumbled. Storms, this weapon was just too clunky. 6 feet long, it was hard to angle right. Yes, it could cut through anything, but he needed to actually hit for that to matter. It had been much easier to wield the thing wearing plate. Without it, he felt like a child holding an adult's weapon. The Voidbringer smiled. Then she struck with blurring speed. Moash stepped back, swinging, forcing her to twist to the side. He took a long cut up the arm, but his move prevented her from impaling him. His arm flared with pain, and he grunted. The Voidbringer regarded him confidently, knowingly. He was dead. Maybe he should simply let it happen. The Voidbringer working in the cart said something eager, excited. He'd found the shard plate. He kicked other items while digging it free, and something rolled out the back of the wagon, thumping against the stone. A spear. Moash looked down at his shard blade, the wealth of nations, the most valuable possession a man could own. "Who am I kidding?" he thought. "Who did I ever think I was kidding?" The Voidbringer woman launched into an attack, but Moash dismissed his shard blade and dashed away. His attacker was so surprised that she hesitated, and Moash had time to dive for the spear, rolling to his feet. Holding the smooth wood in his hand, a familiar weight, Moash snapped easily into his stance. The air suddenly smelled damp and faintly rotten. He remembered the chasms. Life and death together, vines and rot. He could almost hear Kaladin's voice. You can't fear a shard blade. You can't fear a light eyes on horseback. They kill with fear first and the sword second. Stand your ground. The Voidbringer came for him and Moash stood his ground. He turned her aside by catching her weapon on the haft of the spear. Then he thrust the butt end of the spear up underneath her arm as she came in for a backhand. The Voidbringer gasped in surprise as Moash executed a takedown he'd practiced 1,000 times in the chasms. He swung the butt of his spear at her ankles and swept her legs out from under her. He began to follow with a classic twist and thrust to stab down through her chest. Unfortunately, the Voidbringer didn't fall. She caught herself in the air, hovering instead of collapsing. Moash noticed in time and pulled out of his maneuver to block her next attack. The Voidbringer glided backward, then dropped to the ground in a prowling crouch, sword held to the side. She then leaped forward and grabbed Moash's spear as he tried to use it to ward her off. Storms! She gracefully pulled herself close to him, inside his reach. She smelled of wet clothing and of the alien, moldy scent he associated with the Parshendi. She pressed her hand against Moash's chest, and that dark light transferred from her to him. Moash felt himself grow lighter. Fortunately, Kaladin had tried this on him too. Moash seized the Voidbringer with one hand, holding onto the front of her loose shirt as his body tried to fall into the air. His sudden pull jerked her off balance, even lifted her a few inches. He yanked her up toward him with one hand while pushing his spearhead down against the rocky ground. That sent the two of them spinning in the air, hovering. She cried out in an alien tongue. Moash dropped his spear and grabbed his knife. She tried to shove him away, lashing him again, stronger this time. He grunted but hung on and got his knife up and rammed it into her chest. Orange Parshendi blood poured around his hand, spraying into the cold night as they continued to spin in the air. Moash hung on tight and pushed the knife farther. She didn't heal as Kaladin would have. Her eyes stopped glowing and the dark light vanished. The body grew limp. A short time later, the force pulling Moash upward ran out. He dropped the 5 feet to the ground, her body cushioning his fall. Orange blood coated him, steaming in the chill air. He seized his spear again, fingers slick with blood, and pointed it at the three remaining Voidbringers who regarded him with stunned expressions. "Bridge four, you bastards," Moash growled. Two of the Voidbringers turned toward the third, the other woman who looked Moash up and down. "You can probably kill me," Moash said, wiping a hand on his clothes to improve his grip. "But I'll take one of you with me. At least one." They didn't seem angry that he'd killed their friend. Storms, though, did things like these even have emotions? Shenet often just sat around staring. He locked eyes with the woman at the center. Her skin was white and red, not a bit of black in it. The paleness of that white reminded him of the Shin, who always looked sickly to Moash. "You," she said in accented Alethi, "have passion." One of the others handed her Graves's shard blade. She held it up, inspecting it by the firelight. Then she rose into the air. "You may choose," she said to him. "Die here, or accept defeat and give up your weapons." Moash clung to the spear in the shadow of that figure, her clothing rippling in the air. Did they think he'd actually trust them? But then, did he really think he could stand against three of them? With a shrug, he tossed aside the spear. He summoned his blade. After all those years dreaming of one of these, he'd finally received one. Kaladin had given it to him. And what good had come of it? He obviously couldn't be trusted with such a weapon. Setting his jaw, Moash pressed his hand to the gemstone and willed the bond to break. The gemstone at its pommel flashed, and he felt an icy coolness wash through him. Back to being a Dark Eyes. He tossed the blade to the ground. One of the Voidbringers took it. Another flew off, and Moash was confused as to what was happening. A short time later, that one returned with 6 more. 3 attached ropes to the shardplate bundles, then flew off, hauling the heavy armor into the air after them. Why not lash it? Moash thought for a moment they were actually going to leave him there. But finally two others grabbed him, one arm each, and hauled him into the air.